Welcome back to the Broadway Block. Big win before New Year's. Got a game against the Canes tonight. You know, Brind'Amour might be done at the end of the season. They need wins right now.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about Brind'Amour and the Canes, I think, quite a bit. But I know that you and I were pretty high on them coming into this season. You know, who would have thought that they would have had like a sluggish start? And if you look at the Metro, there really is kind of like a glut in the middle there. We've certainly established ourselves at the top of it.
They have bounced back a little bit, and they're in second place right now. But even the Pens, like, they're hanging around 1-3. It's like, it's really scary. You know, you really don't want to drop any games. I wanted to go over a little bit today. If you look at our three losses, minus our last three losses, we got were against the Panthers, obviously. And then we had the 4-3 loss to the Oilers, and then the 7-3 loss to the Leafs. Minus the Leafs game, we were right in those other games, even though, like, the Panthers game, I felt like we should have won that one. Oilers game was up and down, could have went either way. But we're in every game. So that's, like, we got to win these games. And if you look at that, the first loss was December 12th.
Yeah, and the thing is that we knew that Shesterkin was going to come into his own. And I think now we're getting the goal scoring to supplement those good performances. I feel like I speak for a lot of Rangers when I say that, how many times have we seen a goalie just stand on their head and we never, you know, supplied some goals for support? And then we score five, but that's when the goaltending seems to fall apart. Or maybe it's the team defense falling apart in front of the goalie. Now we're seeing all of it at the same time. And we've always known that this team is just like a clunky car and one thing goes on it and then you fix it and then you got to worry about something else. And now we're just seeing the full performance of it. It's beautiful.
Well, it seems like, remember I said last year, I live in New Jersey for anyone that listens, and I was seeing the Devils wagon. Everybody was wearing their Devils stuff everywhere. This year, I've been seeing the Rangers hats everywhere, and everywhere I go, I'm like, let's go Rangers. So the last couple of conversations I've had with people are being like, it's great, we're winning, it's awesome, but like, when are you going to say the Rangers are for realsies? Well, everybody expects them to win. And I think that's the consensus. Like, it's great, the regular season, what the season Panarin is having is incredible. But I think going forward, it's like, it's at least Eastern Conference Finals, if not go to the Cup.
But, you know, for me, and this is the fun part about sports, is you get to kind of stand on your little high hill when it's time. And, you know, it sweeps back around really fast and you're at the bottom of the division looking back up on that hill. But I personally never thought that the Rangers were over exceeding expectations. I felt this entire time that we're a top five team, absolutely. Then we lose in the first round and everybody had us missing the playoffs. It's like, you just need to skew your judgment just a little bit and kind of weigh some factors before you know, think that we're just this awful fucking team. And what really drives me nuts is, like, you watch the sports books too. That really shows you where everyone else's head is. Because they had, you know, Jersey as like one of the cup favorites. You know who the cup favorite is right now on DraftKings? The New York Rangers. And I feel like it's a compliment to the team, sure. But yeah, you ask a normal fan if they think that we're going to win the cup, they'll give you 10 reasons why we're not good enough. So, I mean, I understand their point. It just, it feels to me a little bit like a bias, because what we like to do is to acknowledge a team for what they do that's really well. And I got to be honest with you, I was crapping all over the Devils for that exact reason. And I understand that we might be in a different conversation next year. I'd be the first one to admit that. But we talked about the goaltending. We talked about how the Devils were getting goaltending and that they didn't have goaltending figured out. I think we were dead on about that. And I also felt like they were riding on career highs for every single player. It's like, that's not sustainable. And now look at them. So yeah, when you talk about, should we be winning? Absolutely.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at. The consensus is, like, we got to win a cup. Like, I feel like we've always battled with, like, it's a win now whenever we get in this position. But for right now, I feel like the Rangers are in a good place for the next 5 to 10 years. So it's, we haven't mortgaged the future. I feel like we have a good balance of youth and veteran leadership, and it just has to come together all at the same time. And that's, we're just looking for that magic spark. And it's something similar to be said about the Devils. Like, I feel like we have our goaltending locked up with Igor for, you know, similarly next 5, 10 years. Devils haven't addressed that. We play the Canes tonight. I feel like the Canes have been similar to the Devils in the fact that their goaltending has been not on the elite level of the Vasilevskys, Igors of the world. And so I feel like the Canes kind of pivoted and they dropped Raanta and they made that move, you know? And I just feel like the Devils were like, we're just still going to keep riding it out with like Akira Schmid and Vanacek. So we'll see how that, which one works out for them. Will the Devils miss the playoffs? Right now, the Canes are in second place, so they're in a good spot. Obviously, they're looking for a win tonight against us.
To your point about Vitek and Akira Schmid, they did send Schmid down to the minors. So, I mean, there is a point now where they're maybe starting to realize these holes. One other point about just not getting enough attention around, you know, this team being good. I understand everybody's point. I understand what you just said about winning the cup, and then that's why we have to win, is to prove everybody wrong. But when the Lightning won the cup, what did everybody say about the previous four seasons? Well, they've been knocking at the door, so obviously. How come no one says that about the Rangers? We've been knocking on the door, right? This is us getting playoff momentum if we make a deep push. And how many years in a row do you have to make the playoffs and be a good team in the regular season and be a difficult team to play with night in and night out for someone to say you're knocking at the door? That's really it.
And that's a great point. Let's remember that Columbus did knock the Lightning out in that playoff stretch in the first round.
And they created a monster. Now look at them. This is the most decorated team of the last decade. I mean, if you look at the Penguins, it was the same exact story. They were a team that nobody wanted to go up against. Now they have them success. And people thought, well, no wonder. That's a no-brainer. Of course they're going to have success.
Steve, when are we ever going to get Phil Pietl back and Kaapo Kakko?
Pietl, to me, it's going to be longer than Kaapo, I feel like. From what it sounds like, just based on the way that the organization is handling it, and obviously Pietl has gone back to his home country to, you know, to further his protocol and to try to get well. And obviously we want Pietl to not rush back. And, you know, there's so many more things that are just obvious that everyone, you know, is really quick to bring up. You know, obviously hockey is not the most important thing. We want Phil Pietl happy and healthy, living his normal life. Of course, I feel like they're not going to rush him, knowing that he's so young. You meet those injuries at a bad time, they can kind of compound and you can end your career really early. So,
and it makes you're the mental factor that of like, you know, you don't want to take another one of those. You knew what it took to get back from that long period of being out.
Yep. Actually, funny enough, well, not funny, but oddly enough, Trouba said something very similar the other day that he went out for concussion protocol. He came back. He was healthy the next game. They interview him before the game. He says, oh, yeah. I was just out for, you know, normal stuff. You take a hit to the head. You see people get concussions all the time. You don't want to go through it. And he said, I know the way I play my game. I need to know that I'm not worrying about my safety. Like I'm going to get hit or I'm, you know, that. And that's right. Trouba would be playing as a detriment to the team if he wasn't, you know, playing in that full way. And I think that Hedl as well would, you know, exhibit signs of dropping a puck or just not being a second behind there because he's thinking about being hit. So hopefully the team does not rush him back.
It's an interesting perspective, Trouba, this year, because remember last year he tried to play through injury. So it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to see if that, like this year, maybe the team chemistry is better. Like he felt like he had to be out there more. So he felt like he couldn't even take the time.
Yeah, and you know, this is a whole other conversation and we can end it early if we need to, but I think that something is changing within sports in general that playing through injury just isn't cool anymore. It used to kind of be cool. And like, how do I say this correctly? Should you put your future at risk because of the now? Well,
yeah, but we see it all the time in sports. Yeah. But we do see athletes, like look at the Jack Eichel neck injury, that he stepped up to do what he felt was the best. But we also have people like, you know, the Dolphins last year, Tua got three or four concussions there where it just looked like he maybe should hang it up. But even the Dolphins doctors were telling him to go back, even though that wasn't the right call, but he still went back. So there are people that are roughing it and there are people that are, you know, doing what they feel is best.
Right. And I feel like the shift is kind of happening where even if it's, let's not even talk about concussion, because I think that that's the one where we can all agree you don't rush. But let's just think about something like a fractured foot, for example. You can talk about Barclay Goodrow, you can talk about Ryan McDonough, like there's a lot of examples in-house that we know of people who are just tougher than nails and like will play through it, but at what cost? And I you know, I'm also willing to talk about the difference between a game seven, you know, in the Stanley Cup Finals versus, you know, a regular season game in December. So I think that that's really the shift of hockey culture, the shift of sports culture is don't play through that. Don't put yourself at a disservice. But there are some bootstrap type moments that you look back on, you know, these unrivaled stories of sports that all kind of exist because somebody had this like grit mentality of
the MJ flu game, like the one of the greatest performances of all times during being sick and out of it.
And that's another game that you can point at, like what does it do if he doesn't play well, he just gets benched. It doesn't mean he'll like rupture his Achilles or refracture his knee or something where he's now at a really bad position for the rest of his career. If he has a bad game because he has the flu, we never hear about it. But obviously we get those, like I said, those historic moments because of people stepping up like that.
And is it too early for you to say, like, we called the, like, Panarin's definitely hitting 100 points this year?
I mean,
thing that we talked about at the beginning of the season?
Yep. No, we've talked about that a bit. I've always felt like Panarin had another gear. You know, you can call it inconsistency. You could say he's got to shoot more, but I think those two things are definitely true about this season. He's more consistent and he's shooting a heck of a lot more. He's also not forcing those bad passes so much. And I think that presented the option, force a bad pass or shoot, he's electing to shoot. And when he's in a spot, I think he's deceptive enough with the puck now where nobody knows what he's going to do. I mean, you look at his point totals, it's pretty even. Through 50 points, he's got 23 goals. So he becomes that kind of equal opportunity threat where if you look last year, 20 goals, 70 assists. I know I'm off by a couple numbers there, but 70 assists makes him a pass first kind of guy. 20 goals, 70 assists makes you a pass first kind of guy. Now you're seeing this dude who can just rip him. He's got two hat tricks already.
It was my fault. I had Panarin on fantasy last year. That's why I told everybody in the Twitter world, I was like, I'm not taking any Rangers this year. When I posted my team, everyone was like, well, there's no Rangers on it. It's only former Rangers. And I was like, guys, I'm doing you a favor. Yep. The year before that, I had Igor, and it wasn't lights. Like, he had a good season. That was a good season. But then I also had, like, the year before Kreider had the 50.
Yeah. Now, and he's another guy that you can kind of rope into that conversation. Is this enough to say that it is for real? I think that these guys are benefiting from the system. And I know that's probably not.
It's so cliche. You know, it's like this team's resilient. You know, they're benefiting from the system. Yeah. But it really is true.
Yeah. Because you look at the way that, you know, we knew going into camp, you're going to see some Kreider with Mika. You knew that Laviolette's going to give that a look and think, okay, I can see why everybody ices these two together. And obviously, Kako being injured creates this hole on the top line right wing. And if we're honest, he wasn't really clinging to him to that spot the way that we've seen him in the past, which is concerning. And I think that forced a little bit of Laviolette's hand. And then with Trocheck sliding into Hedl's spot, we're finding a little bit of luck because of the things that were or just happening to us are out of our control. But we're also finding that with these guys in the positions that they were in last season. So this is my point. Kreider, Mika, this is not old. Trocheck, Panarin, we've seen this before. What's different about it this time around? Lafreniere is also a huge reason that line, the Trocheck, Panarin line,
is buzzing,
is gelling, because you're watching a confidence be exuded from this kid. Being rewarded for it is also very nice. And to have some chemistry with those guys, I mean, that's the icing on the cake. Now we're seeing him take those strides that we've been waiting for this whole time.
It's good. We took the training wheels off. We just needed Lavi to come in and take the training wheels off, which was great to see.
People talk about the benching from last year. It's like, you know, good on Gerard Gallant, because maybe he never gets benched again. Maybe ever. Maybe when he retires and number 13 is getting hoisted to the MSG rafters after he's won us two cups, he goes, thank you, Gerard, because you lit the fire under my ass for benching me. Because he's probably never been benched in his entire life. So
I think it came out when that happened that he had never actually been benched before in his life. He like didn't know what to do.
Yeah, and you know, Kakko is kind of another guy that we talk
Kakko about. Benches himself with these injuries, so we don't he doesn't need to be benched.
No, Kakko has a bad luck streak right now with these injuries as well. Because
I gotta say, it's like at least one or two a year, right?
It always feels like it's something slow, and it always feels like once he gets a little bit of momentum. But you know, we saw it with Hedl taking that stride in an extra season, giving that guy a bridge and an extended look in the top six. So I mean, once they're all back and healthy, this team is really dangerous already. And you know, it's kind of disgusting that we're doing what we're doing without those two in the lineup. But it's really coming down to now the third and the fourth line. The eye test is no longer passing, and the analytics are starting to show that they're not that good. And I'm getting a little uncomfortable watching them play sometimes. There's some scary moments where it just leads to too much sustained time in the zone. And you know, I feel like, again, this is a moment where I can speak for most Ranger fans, is you're almost like grabbing the couch a little too clutch. Like you feel like something's going to happen and then it does. And we're not getting the goal every once in a while to kind of like smooth it all over. The only bright side really in that bottom six right now is Will Cooley.
He's been aggressive all over the ice. And here's the thing, you know, for someone that's beginning their NHL career, you know, he's not timid out there. He's in everyone's face, every scrum, and he's not afraid to shoot either.
No, and he's leading the NHL rookies in hits this year. And I have a feeling that we're going to continue to see goals produced by him in repeatable ways. And what I mean by that is driving to the front of the net and cleaning up the garbage. And how many times have we said that?
We always love those players on every other team. So we've been waiting for, especially an in-house talent, we always have to trade to get one of those people.
Right. And I think he is ecstatic to be here. There's no way that he knew that he was going to make the team out of camp. So he's just kind of like running with the horses now.
And he gets to live with Trocheck and learn how to be like a professional. And like, you know, Daddy Trocheck, you know, they're eating good Italian food over there.
Stylistically too, I don't think he plays like a Panarin. He doesn't play like
even he's like more of a Trocheck kind of character, right? Like,
yeah,
so it makes sense. He's learning who he's gonna become, you know. Also the production, I know, like sometimes I feel like we have some defensive lapses out there, but offensively the defense has been buzzing. Like everybody's been, Keandre Miller's been having some good opportunities, knowing the right time for the rush, and even Braden Schneider.
Well, you know, you said it about the fantasy team. And it's like for the Rangers to do well, they just need to not be on your fantasy team. You know, for the defense to do well, all we have to do is call them out in the show about their lackluster performance in the last couple of games, because we were pretty quick to tell Keandre Miller and Braden Schneider.
I feel like that was like yesterday. And then I was like, I was every time something happened, I was like, oh, we just said that like a couple weeks ago.
But, you know, these guys are still young, too. We talk about this team in so many different angles about, oh, keep in mind, this guy's young. I mean, Braden Schneider has so much more hockey ahead of him. And for him to learn from Trouba, not playing on the same line together, but for him to learn the same kind of style, he fits into this team perfectly, because there isn't that pressure right now for him to become that first round draft pick guy. And to some respects, Keandre as well. He gets to kind of hover in that spot where there's Adam Fox, there's Jacob Trouba. You guys are, you know, number three, number four on the list, if that. So that's a good position to be in when you think about, or when a team's scheme starts to fit with what they already have. Because you get a guy that, like Jones, for example, that just doesn't really fit the mold of what we need down there right now. And I think that Schneider really plays that style that we've been looking for. And I think that's why we traded up to draft both Schneider and Miller. So somebody saw this a long time ago. It's nice to see it at an NHL level. You know, how many times can you just watch like a defensive blunder and be like, okay, he's learning, but now we're starting to see them put it together for sure.
Steve, we got to go. Dude, let's go Rangers. Time. We got game time.
What's your final score prediction? We haven't done one of those in a while.
3-2 Rangers.
3-2 Rangers.
No overtime. No overtime. No overtime.
Okay. My wife said 4-2 Hurricanes, so I'm a little nervous.
I don't like it. I'm going to say 3-2 Rangers, guys. Count it. You know, positivity. Joe, I may not run a 5K like our buddy Steve over there, but I got the Rangers winning tonight.
All right, buddy. Well, let's go Rangers. I hope you're right.
Let's go Rangers.